Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning, especially my friends that are here, and my mother, who is 93 years old, and I'm glad to have you here. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be in the pulpit again after a very long time away from it. But I'm thankful to the Lord nonetheless. Before we begin today, I'm going to open with a little prayer, and then I have a little story that I'd like to share with you just because of the significance of the day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the blessings that you've given us. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over Pastor Sperry and his family as they are on vacation. Keep them safe during their travels. Give him a renewed spirit that he would be able to return to us and be able to continue to do the work that you have set him apart to do. Father, we pray for our land that you would shower upon us the blessing of rain, which we so desperately need. Our farmers need to grow crops and hay for the cattle. And your rain that comes down from heaven just renews the earth and refreshes everything. So, Father, in your time, we ask that you would open the heavens and give us that gentle blessing from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. The story that I want to share with you today involves three miracles, and it involves my father. The year is 1994. My father, who is 74 years of age, is driving out here on Highway 49 on his motorcycle. And right out by Shopko, he crashes. We don't know what happened exactly, whether a tire blew out or he had a mini stroke. We were never really sure. But he crashed very hard, and he was not wearing a helmet. And right now, my wife has given me that look about, you don't wear your helmet all the time either, so... But the ambulance came, and they took him to Hazen, and they immediately transported him to Bismarck Hospital and put him in the intensive care unit. After they did their initial examination, they discovered that my father suffered from 16 multiple skull fractures. So if you can imagine taking a hard-boiled egg and putting it on a hard countertop and rolling it underneath your hand, that's what his head looked like in the x-rays. The doctors didn't give him much chance of surviving because of the immediate swelling that occurred and the pressure that it would put on his brain. It would eventually... They feared it would eventually. So they called the family together that night, and when they gave us the news that he probably wouldn't make it through the night, I remember going off into a quiet place in the hospital. And I asked God, I said, God, please don't let him die. Not like this. And it was those three little words, not like this, that will come into play later on in my story. Here's the first miracle. From that time on, he began to improve. And over a long period of time and a long recovery, my dad recovered and he lived. And God blessed us with 15 more years of having him in our presence. Now we fast forward to 2009. my father wasn't feeling very good that day. So they went to the hospital and had some tests done. And they discovered that he had stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And after a failed attempt at chemotherapy, it was pretty much decided that things were going to run their course. And during this short period of time that we knew my dad had left, the doctors gave him anywhere from 3 to 6 months. During this period of time, my father did not suffer any pain from the cancer. That was the second miracle. So throughout this time that we had remaining, I spent as much time as I could with my father, and we talked a lot about God and our faith in Christ and what it meant to us that we knew he would eventually be going home. And towards the end of his life, I asked him, I said, "Dad, when you get to heaven," I said, "would you ask God to make it snow?" And he thought about it, and then he asked me, "Why?" And I said, "Well, I just want to make sure that you've made it home." So he said, "Okay, I'll do that." During this next 3 months, my father was perfectly cognitive. You know, we could talk to him almost every day. He suffered no pain. And I'm sorry, it still is very poignant to me. So he passed away, and today marks the 8th anniversary of his passing. 2 days later, on the 6th of June, it snowed. That was the third miracle. Our sermon text for this Sunday is taken from St. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, which Joette just read recently. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I'm so tired. If I take one more step, I'm going to fall over. I just can't take it anymore. I need a break. Does this sound familiar? Do you recognize these words of desperation? Perhaps you have spoken them not too long ago. With all of our modern conveniences and fast-paced lifestyles, we all too often find ourselves rushing from here to there, unable to keep up the pace. We find that we have an appointment with our dentist. "Sorry, doc." Little Joey needs glasses. Sam has piano lessons. Trevor has football practice. There are parent-teachers conferences, confirmation classes, basketball games, football games, baseball games. Have I missed anything? There never seems to be an end in sight. We stress and we worry. How can we possibly fit one more thing into our schedule? And the world consumes us right before our very eyes. We become so busy, so rushed, so pressed for time that we forget the most important appointment of all. It's the time when we fast-paced and sinful human beings spend a few moments of quiet time, not with ourselves, but with our Heavenly Father in prayer. He bids us to come. When was the last time you sat down in a quiet place, undisturbed from the troubles and cares of everyday life, and had a good long heart-to-heart talk with your Father, your Heavenly Father, that is? Is it on your to-do list for today, or perhaps for this coming week? Throughout Scriptures, the Word of God gives us many invitations to come. In Isaiah, we read, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." And in the book of John, "He who comes to me will never go hungry." St. Mark tells us, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And yet, because of our sinfulness, we fail to come. We fail to see how important it is to feed our souls in this modern, busy, and hectic life that we lead. We need to remember this simple but necessary invitation: come to me. When we say to ourselves that we just need to get away from it all, we need to remember that there is a difference between getting away from it all and getting away to spend time with Jesus alone. In our sinful human nature, we tend to worry instead of coming to our Heavenly Father. Even though we have the promises of God, we still worry. We worry when the doctor comes in and says, "I have some bad news." We worry when our children leave home for the first time. We worry as we watch the stock market decline. We worry about our 401k funding. We worry whether or not we'll have enough money to live on. We worry that we may not even live to see our retirement. And we worry and we forget that the answer lies in prayer. Fear, doubt, and anxiety become the normal train of thought for us when we worry. Fear, doubt, and anxiety. These three things all too often replace the fear, love, and trust we should have in our hearts for the divine promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "Do not worry," the Scriptures tell us over and over again. Yet what is the first thing we tend to do when things get so busy or go wrong? We worry. Yes, we worry rather than turn to our Heavenly Father, praying as His dear children, "Lord, have mercy on us. Father, help us in our time of need." Amidst the distraction of our busy lives, Satan will try his absolute best to throw his flaming arrows our way in the form of trials and temptations. He will cause us to doubt and to fall away from the life-giving, life-sustaining grace and the promises of our Savior. In our weakness, we will fall. We fall into believing the lies and accusations of Satan, and we allow ourselves to become the victims rather than the victors. God is calling us to firmly believe His promises and has forgiven us for our lack of faith. He also is calling us to trust Him for our future, no matter how bad things are or how far we might stray. God's promise is still firm and will remain unshakable to the end of the world. He says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. The Holy Spirit has already given us faith to trust our Lord in every possible circumstance. Through Christ, the Holy Spirit will enable us to do what we cannot do for ourselves, to put everything into God's hands. God, in His mercy and in His grace, enables us to receive comfort in His promises, even in our busy, cluttered, and hectic lives. He says, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Remember who God is and what He has given us in these promises. This is the same God who has made the heavens and the earth, and even now sustains them. This is the same God who has sent His Son to save us from our sins and grant us the blessings of forgiveness and eternal life. This is the same God who sent His Word among us to keep and strengthen us in times of trial and hardship. This is the same God who walked the earth in the form of a man, who lived among us, who felt what we feel, but in His mercy says to us in Ezekiel 34, "I will search for the lost and bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock in justice." Our Heavenly Father bids us to come to the baptismal font for the new birth of water in the Word. He bids us to come to the worship services in His house for the hearing and learning of His Word. He bids us to come to the Lord's table for the eating and drinking of Christ's own body and blood, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for the strengthening and the preserving of our faith. By His mighty power, working through Word and the sacrament, He has given us faith to trust in Him alone, and faith to face our worries. Satan may try to bring us to our knees, but praise Almighty God that when we are down and out, when we are at our wits' end, we can always look up to heaven and open our hearts to our Heavenly Father, who has promised to hear our cries for mercy. In Scriptures, we are told that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And it is in that strength that we fear, love, and trust in Christ alone. God continues to meet our needs, and in His good time and in His own way, He will bless us with the rain that we so desperately need. And for that, we praise His holy name. So when we are tempted to worry rather than turn to God in prayer, we can look to the Scriptures and we can see with absolute certainty that God will always care for us. When we come to Him in prayer, we can place our worry in the hands of our Lord. Each day we are invited to come and spend quiet time with Jesus. We do this by spending time in His Word and in prayer. Do you carry everything to God in prayer? Scripture also invites us to pray without ceasing. This means we are to have a continual open dialogue with our Lord. This means of communication with our Savior provides us with an outlet for all our anxieties, our guilt, and our uncertainties. So when we present our needs to Him and the needs of others around us, we can be certain that He has promised to hear us and will answer our prayers. Our Father is acquainted with every situation of our lives. He is our help in every trouble. In 1 Peter we read, "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. When God's Holy Spirit opens our hearts so that we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and His work of redemption on the cross, He has removed every sinful deed that stood between us and our Father. He promises to hear our prayers and to answer them according to His will. The 84th Psalm reads that the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Through Christ, we have been and always will be restored to a right relationship with God. He invites us to come and to cast our burdens upon Him, to share our desires and our anxieties with the fervent promise that He will give us rest. The Bible tells us in Psalms 55, "Cast your cares upon the Lord, and He will sustain you." Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, poured out His innocent blood on the cross to cover our sins. All of our guilt was put on Jesus. All of our sin was put on Jesus. And for those sins, He was punished. Jesus says to us, "I love you this much." And He stretched out His arms and He died. But on Easter Sunday morning, Jesus raised from the dead in glorious victory. The empty tomb stands to this very day as a testament that Jesus lives. Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Come to Christ and your life will never be the same. To God be the glory. Father, we thank You today that in Your Son, Jesus Christ, we can come to You as children of Your grace and ask You to pour out Your cup of blessing upon us as heirs of Your heavenly kingdom. Amen.